You're listening to 106.3 AFN Bahrain the Eagle. I'm your host, Petty Officer John Nye, serving America's best. It is 3:07 Monday afternoon, and yes, it is Monday, and we're talking all about money today. Money matters Monday. I've got the special guest, the co-host of today's show, Patrick Underwood from Fleet and Family. And hey, we're jamming out, hanging out in the studio. We've got a lot to talk about. But Mr. Underwood, how's your day going? What's going on?
Well, I mean, obviously our weather. I mean, I hate to say we always talk about weather, but it influences so much of our attitude around here. And so it is getting better. It's nice. It seemed a little warmer today, but it's a beautiful day in Bahrain, to be honest with you. And I'm looking forward always to spending time with everybody and sharing a little bit of knowledge and knowing that we always talk about money and different ways that we can budget, save, all that kind of great stuff that Well, I mean, we can just kind of get into it with this being now EFMP month, Exceptional Family Member Program. A lot of people honestly don't know what it is and really don't know how they can utilize the resources. So I thought that'd be a great thing that we can talk about today, just so that we make sure people understand the resources that are available to them.
Excellent. You know, the Exceptional Family Member Program, there's a lot of kind of details with it. And even if you don't have children, maybe you've got a fellow service member that does. And if you can provide some of those inside ideas and tips to them of how they can get some, you know, advice and counseling from the Fleet and Family Support Center. This is just one of those many ways. So we're all about, you know, saving that money.
Definitely.
And just really with the family. I mean, what comes first is the family and making sure that everyone's covered and our bases are covered there. So stay dialed in. We've got some more details as we dig into the EFMP and some other programs that are happening here on base.
Kicking butt and taking initials. We ain't got time to take names. AFN the Eagle, serving America's best.
All right, Mr. Underwood, the EFMP, the Exceptional Family Member Program. Let's talk a little bit about this. Who's eligible? Why would someone, you know, need to seek counseling or advice and guidance for this particular program?
Well, I think the great thing to know is that it's like government mandated. So it's not one of the things that you just wonder if it's going to be there. So when people hear it, sometimes if they've never heard about it before, they may think, oh, maybe that's only in Bahrain, because I never paid attention to it. So it's there. Now, we cover that as guys come in during indoc and stuff. So even this morning when we were talking about it, I tell everybody, like, this is maybe not necessarily for you personally, but this is how you can be a resource for people around you. And a lot of times in your career, there's going to be times where there's just natural changes. And those are the times where, when you've been living a certain kind of pattern, that when that pattern changes, now you're like wondering, wait, shouldn't this be a little bit different? And that's very often when people get married or have kids. And in both of those instances, that's usually where their introduction to EFMP comes in. And so if we can give them resources before that, they can actually help people around them, even when it's not their own personal issue. And so the Exceptional Family Member Program is something that is continuously evolving. Matter of fact, when we had some important visitors from Washington, D.C., shall we say, a few months back, that was the very first question that I got asked. I just remember standing in the office, and then, you know, you figure, oh, what are we going to talk about? There's a whole list of different things. And then I wouldn't say got called on the carpet, but was just like, hey, I need you to tell me about your Exceptional Family Member Program and how people can get access to it. And do you feel you have the resources you need to meet those when people come in? And I was like, not expecting that, but yeah, here's what it is. And so us at Fleet and Family, we don't sit and do the evaluations and all of that. We just make sure we get the person to where they need to be. And there's kind of like a trifecta of people that are involved in it, because it is the government. And so for us, you know, here, the Navy is in charge of this area. So each branch deals with it technically in their own way, just because of how they will initiate those resources out to the family. And then you look at the medical facility. So for us here at the clinic, we've got a fantastic person who is in charge of that side of things to make sure that the needs are not only met, but that we continually evaluate the person and making sure that they are getting or have the opportunity to receive the resources. And then on top of that, that we are continually providing or meeting the standard that we have to, because not every place is going to be the same. The expectations here in Bahrain are not the same as if we were going to be, like say in San Diego or Hawaii or like a big installation place. And so right now, when you look at that side of things, then they're turns to people like that are me, and I just connect people into a case liaison that makes sure that as the service member is receiving everything, that they are at least aware of all of the resources that they can get.
Okay, so a family member, how do they know, like a service member, mm-hmm. if they're eligible? They have, you know, a young child.
Right.
What are some of the like first steps in just kind of identifying?
Yeah, so number one, they've got to be a dependent. So they've got to be on a page two. It can't be somebody that you really like. It can't be a family member that is, you know, distant that might need somebody. So like, oh, my cousin really needs it. That's fantastic. But if your cousin is your dependent, then all in. Let's get them everything that we can. And so you bring up a great issue like, all right, who are we talking about? And then more importantly, when and how can that happen? So you can technically marry somebody that, you know, as an EFMP, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not like you're just like, oh, no, sorry, you're out now. No, not at all. You got to make sure that they're going to get the resources that they have. And then, like you had said, maybe you have a child. Maybe you marry in with a child. So now you've got, instant family, just add you, and there's your spouse and two kids. And one of the kids has some challenges, you know, on the education side with learning. So they'll get evaluated, and then they'll make sure that their educational institution will be able to provide whatever they need. And, we're going to talk about a couple of other resources here after the music, just about who would they partner with in executing, getting the resources to them. And so with EFMP, you've got a couple of different kind of evaluators that can come from the clinic. And then you've got every command should have a POC, so that POC can recognize and say, hey, you know, if it's been more than 6 months, that's what's considered chronic. And so that chronic, whatever it is, it can be asthma, it can be a learning challenge, it can be a physical challenge. There's a wide array of what it is. And so are you aware that there are resources there for you? And the thing and why I wanted to talk about it today is because a lot of times people go out and start spending their own money trying to help their kid with, say, speech development. And they have no idea that there are resources there for them and that they do evaluations on their kid. And then they just go, oh, yeah, but I mean, I want to see it get done. So do other people. Other people want to help out that situation. But knowing what those resources are and how they are, you know, how available they may be, depending on your installation. And of course, for us out here, depending on the severity, then some guys are going to come out here unaccompanied without their family because we don't provide the resources here physically, but they're provided back home wherever the family is, but it still follows the service member. And so knowing where those resources are, how they can get to them, it's a big thing, and it can really save a whole lot of money if you know that you can get that assistance.
Excellent. So it sounds like there's definitely some steps that need mm-hmm. to be taken, some people that need to be spoken with.
Yeah.
There's some steps that we can take.
And I think that's one of the things that we talk about is there's misnomers that if something happens that, oh, man, I won't get promoted, I won't be able to get a certain job. What the whole goal of the program is to make sure that the people who need it get the resources.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're going to dig into some more of these steps and some other programs that mm-hmm. are out there as well to help service members, their families, their dependents. So they can continue to serve and excel in the mission.
If we'd known we were going to be around this long, we'd have taken better care of ourselves. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
All right, we are talking all about the Exceptional Family Member Program this Monday on Money Matters. Mm-hmm. I've got Patrick Underwood in the studio, and so we're going to break down some of the potential kind of steps that your service members might need to go through to help get support for their dependents, and what that identification, how that mm-hmm. enrollment process looks. So, what are some of the ways that a family might first find out that you know, maybe they need a little extra help for their son or their daughter,
right,
whomever it might be.
Yeah, and knowing kind of basically where their touch point would be for that, kind of who or how would they get referred into the program.
Yeah.
And so they're basically the three main contacts that a family would have when it comes to anything that would be you know, diagnosed as far as here is some kind of resource to help you with that. And so whether that's leadership within the command, so within that command, we do part of our command training. So when you have new leadership that comes on within the triad, they have certain time frames that they have to get training done in. And here at our fleet and family, we add EFMP onto sapper training, that comes with it, and FAP training. And so these guys now know where that reference is and that they should have a person that can be their POC assigned as a collateral for them, give them a fancy certificate and everything after they go through training. And so the command has a POC in there, so they can refer that directly to the service member. But then you say, well, the spouse doesn't show up every day for work. Well, where does the spouse go? So the spouse goes to a family service center, so they can go to Fleet and Family, and they also usually are the ones that end up taking the kid to the doctor. So now you've got two other points added onto kind of this triangle that surrounds the family with areas where they can get a referral and understanding about how the program works. And so knowing that the command's got somebody that can sit with the service member, of course, obviously the service member, if there is no spouse involved, then the service member may be the one that's going to go to the pediatrician or whoever the assigned person is at the clinic. Ours happens to be the ped, and she's fantastic with it and is very aware and fantastic in promoting the program and understanding to the families. And so that's a very key issue, is just knowing that you have people who are there to support you, and that it's about resourcing. It's not about penalizing the fact that, you know, the family member is going through whatever the case is.
Right. So what is like the typical timeline? Like, what might it take from that initial kind of interview and that meeting, having that assignment and that coordinator, till the dependent is actually getting, you know, the support, the care, whatever they might need. So what's that timeline usually?
So you're kind of, in a sense, looking at time. There's one for an initial enrollment, if that makes sense. And then there's one for wherever it might be, wherever the resource might be delivered. So if we have somebody that's coming here and they would, in theory, they would have already have an overseas screen before they get here. So now once they get here, now we're just getting them connected to the resources. But if you're starting and initiating into the program, then it really matters on what you're going to deal with or the severity of the issue, making sure that they're giving you a holistic coverage, if that makes sense, and not just what you think is wrong. So if somebody shows up and says, yeah, my kid does this, but they've never been evaluated, they may not know the depth of what resources they actually need. And so that brings up something that we talked about a little bit about offline, of it used to be before everybody was put into a category. So basically 1 through 5 of severity of this is really bad or this is not, and then dealt with accordingly. So when you go to the detailer and hand out orders and stuff like that, they would say, oh, you got this category, your family's eligible to accompany you here and all of that. Now, as of the 1st of October, they're doing everything individually. So now they take that evaluation and they make sure that wherever that family member is going to be or has the possibility of being assigned, that that place is not just throwing you into a category that might have it or come really close, or they met that, but you need a little bit more. Now it's going to be individualized so that people will be able to understand their situation better and then the resources that are available to get that directly.
Excellent. So there's some really individualized kind of focused attention. Obviously, those overseas screening are very important. And then I imagine it follows kind of the family around as they PCS and they go to a new command. You can see the development and the growth over time as well, getting that support that the family and the dependents need.
Definitely. And I think one of the big tools that is being introduced into this is there's a My Navy Family app. So for the active duty family, like the personnel and dependents, you can actually now start to get on that app and then find what resources are available before you even get to places now. And so that can help you initiate the contact well before you even get to that side. And then you can start to build bridges, get comfortable with places wherever you're going to end up before you even get there.
Okay, let's be honest. If Van Gogh were alive today and he had to listen to the competition, he'd probably cut off the other ear. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
All right, it is time to switch gears. We're going to go from the EMFP into some education and development intervention services, looking at individualized family service plans and some of the other educational services that are offered as well.
Yeah, so it's definitely a team game in working with it. And so you'll, depending on what the need is, then it could involve wherever the school is, educational institution, however, if it's, you're talking about that need with the child. But one of the partners that gets worked with, especially here that we have, when I was up in Naples, it was the same way. Then you have EDIS, and it's that early development intervention that looking at making sure that maybe things that a parent may not be aware of that they can go in. And here we honestly, I wouldn't expect a place like us to have to cover as much ground as what they do, but we have a great team that's here. And obviously not everybody stays for years at a time. They PCS in and out the same way that a service member would, but you're talking about the fact that they'll cover speech development. It can be physical development, like the social, psychological aspect of doing things. So a lot of times people don't even understand what it would be like if the kid starts comparing themselves to other kids around, and then on top of that, how the parents go through everything when they're dealing with something and feel a need or a lack thereof of assistance, that's the kind of stuff that EDIS can help in the big picture of doing things. So again, they're very diverse in what their coverage is at different times and seasons. I remember when we just had a speech therapist for a long time, and you're going, well, what if my kid doesn't have a speech issue? Then, yeah, it is a little bit of a struggle. But like I said, right now, and the connection with it, too, is that they have a direct connect with the clinic. And so knowing basically this is for the under three crowd, if that makes sense, your pre-K, and then knowing how they pass that off of like, here's a kid who's with us, but now they're going to go into whatever preschool, school education system kind of a thing. And like I said, it's a fantastic team that we have here. And so again, imagining that if your kid needed certain things and you didn't know it was there, you would want to help them have everything that they could. And so people start really reaching and they don't even realize it's sitting in front of them. And so they're trying to look for resources, paying out of their own pocket. None of that kind of treatment is going to be cheap if you've got to go and find it yourself and didn't even realize that it was covered. Insurance providers are not going to just say, oh yeah, find us stuff to pay for. They want to know, how this is working and how it's justified and all of that kind of stuff. Well, EDIS takes care of all of that.
Yeah, I really like the idea of, that early childhood development and having those socialized play groups. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because every child is going to develop at a different rate. And one of the great things with EDIS is that it helps to kind of identify some of those situations and get the children in those programs and socialized groups so they can develop together.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times all a parent needs to know is that what they're doing is okay. Because sometimes a parent sits there and says, man, I don't think that my kid is, doing this as well as what other kids are. And then the doctor just comes in and it's like, your kid doesn't have to. He's actually got another 2 years before he meets that mark you know, of expectation for that. So a lot of times that can be like, say, a speech development, like, oh, my kid doesn't say his L's and R's the right way or whatever. And you're like, yeah, we actually don't really care about that until they're seven or, you know, whatever the mark is that they can tell you. Whereas a parent, you're going, well, how come that 4-year old is doing that and my 4-year old can't make that? And you just need somebody who's going to say it's OK. It can be diet, you know, what the kids are eating. We're going to talk about WIC here in a sec, that's a really important part of how a child develops. And just to go in and have a doctor, you know, just say, yeah, it's okay that your kid loves Doritos, you know, and they won't eat anything else right now. But we want to get them into and then help focus goals, you know, nutrition wise and everything like that.
Maximum music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum repeats.
80s music. I love listening to The Cars, Modern English.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
All right. Hey, don't lose sight. Keep an eye on that, the pocketbook or your wallet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, going out these days, it can be a little expensive going to the grocery store or eating out at the restaurants. I mean, inflation is on the rise, so to speak. So we've got obviously some tools, some ways that can help families save some money in the bank and also just get some more healthy nutrition for their dependents and families. So we're going to talk a little bit about WIC.
Yep.
And Mr. Underwood, share a little bit about some of the benefits of what WIC can provide for some of our families.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing just from the point of view that when you, the overseas WIC office has a higher threshold when it comes to financial opportunity in provision for families, meaning that in other places, they may say, here's your income, and because you make this, this is your limit. Here, they have a little bit higher limit than what other places will have. And it's important to know that some of the stuff, people don't even realize what it is or what's available until they go shopping. And at least for us in, you know, our, let's just say, spatially challenged grocery provider, that it's not the biggest store in the world. And we can go out in town and we can get a lot of stuff here. There's no doubt about that. But if we are shopping here and we go to the next mart, you'll see little stickers that'll be on different areas, whether that's, you know, like the cheese, dairy, fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, that you will literally see a WIC sticker there. And that's what this is about, is that these things are all eligible for the program and they basically give you a check. Now, it's not a blank check, you just spend as much as you want, but it is for that opportunity to provide good nutrition. And what WIC stands for is that women, infant, children. So it's, again, for the young development stage kind of thing, to know that they can be provided for. So they'll even, especially if there's a need for a special kind of formula, so say there's an allergy or something that the child has and they're not able to access different things. I mean, a can of formula can be expensive. And to know that that can have basically be subsidized, provided, it can be a huge blessing for a family, especially nowadays when the budget can be really tight. You know, one way to do better, of course, and we talk about it all the time, seems like every week, is to get a good spending plan together, to know where your money's actually going. But then when you sit there and say, yeah, I can qualify for this assistance, it actually allows you to have some money go to other things. And, you know, kids grow, they need clothes, they need all kinds of stuff to get moving through their life early on. And when you're starting to spend money on all kinds of stuff, you want to make sure that obviously food is going to be the primary there, but that's what WIC can do, is they can help you out with that.
Yeah, I mean, adding one, two, or however many dependents you might have into the family,
right?
You know, the budget starts to multiply pretty quick, you know, especially if you're, like you said, getting new clothes and things. So it's great to hear that we've got programs in place to help, you know, growing families and expanding families in the military here. So we are going to look a little bit more into some of our programs that we offer at the Fleet and Family Support Center. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Underwood, if someone has some questions, they want to schedule a meeting, like, where can people go on base to get the care and answer, get some of those questions answered?
Yeah, and the obviously with any of the providers that we've talked about, you know, today, you can set up an appointment one way or another. So you've got POCs within the command that can do that. Obviously, at Fleet and Family, you can come in. We can give you the contact information. But, you know, part of it, it happens to it when you're already at an appointment. So if you're already scheduled to be at the clinic with your kid, you know, early on, they have wellness visits. So here's a brand new kid hatches out. You're like, oh, look at this beautiful gift. And it keeps you up at night and you're already challenged in 50 different things. And sometimes you don't process, like we had talked about, where the resources are actually going to be. And so you sit there and know that the providers here are, they're going to ask you questions. And sometimes you may think, man, that's a little invasive. What they're trying to do is make sure that you're aware of what the resources are. And so do you realize that you can basically walk across the street from the clinic and that's where Edis is, and then know, hey, these guys are here to help me, but I don't know the extent of what I need. And that's what they're going to do, is provide that for you.
Maximum Music.
I love you too.
Oh, Rob Thomas.
John Mayer. I don't listen to anything else.
Minimum Repeats.
Very good variety of music.
They play the greatest music all day long.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
Fleet and Family. Hey, we're talking all about the family here today. And of course, ways to save money and just be a little bit more efficient with every dollar that comes in and how we spend it. Thinking about that, what are some, maybe some techniques, some practices that other service members can put into practice in their life? Maybe there's some trainings that people can go through. What other services are Fleet and Family offering here?
Yeah, and so like we talked about in the very beginning, when it comes to this kind of EFMP or family awareness, then you've got the opportunity to go through different kinds of training. So we talked about the just the POC training that every command should have for the EFMP side of stuff, but every command should have CFSs too. And so your CFS is going to go through training when we bring, when we take them through that 40 hours that week, we bring this kind of stuff into them so that they understand financially how this can affect the family. And know that if they have these outside resources, the last class we went, we kind of give them almost a warm handoff, walk them to the WIC office, walk them to Navy Marine Corps Relief, walk them to these places so they physically know where they're at. And then if the service member or family needs to go there, they've got a direct reference for it. Another thing that we didn't talk about actually is RELSO, the legal office, in knowing that if any of these things, you need assistance in dealing with some of the legal aspect of some of that, that that's what they're there for. And again, a lot of times people are going to shy away because they see the cost of it and they don't realize they're not going to have to pay for anything. They just need to walk in there and make an appointment, understand how they can get lined up with certain things, even when it comes to just protecting your family. So you got a brand new family, you want to update your will and get all of that kind of stuff lined up. And a lot of times guys don't even think about that. But knowing, again, where that training can come from at Fleet and Family, obviously on the money side, we've got all kinds of stuff of, you know, how to put a spending plan together, savings and investing. Pretty soon around the corner, we're going to start doing, you know, our holiday season. So, you know, budgeting for the holidays and what that means. That's all good education and training that honestly, the majority of us just don't have. We've never had the opportunity to get it anywhere. And all of that can be provided for you, or your command. We'll come out and do it at commands too, and it's all free.
Maximum Music.
I love Sheryl Crow, Maroon 5,
John Mayer,
Nickelback.
Minimum Repeats.
Anytime I'm driving, they play everything. That's the way to go.
Serving America's best on AFN The Eagle.
All right, we are back with Money Matters and Patrick Underwood from Fleet and Family. Hey, we're about to close it up. We've got a little bit of final thoughts and looking at the family, finances, and some ways that we can not only help with the education and development of the youngsters in the family, but, you know, looking towards the future. Maybe there's retirement plans. What are some of your final thoughts and closing remarks here, Mr. Underwood?
Well, one of the things that we talk about is just making sure that you're aware of the resources. Tonight, we're going to be doing it's just the monthly ombudsman assembly, and the ombudsman is part of the command, works with the command communicating this kind of stuff out to the families and making sure that they're aware of it. And we're going to be talking about some of these resources with them tonight, just keeping the resources fresh and aware. Honestly, the ombudsman are some of the best contacts ever, and they're all volunteers. And so that they save the Navy money, if you want to look at it that way. And the whole thing is that all of these kinds of things of where the Navy is providing or the government or however the provision is for your family, just that don't leave that on the table. Don't say no for somebody else. Ask, see what's out there. And we've talked about training, talked about the awareness and all of that kind of stuff. And so as we're just winding it down, just know that you can always reach out to your command, and you're like, oh, command's busy, they're not going to do that. Hey, wherever you're going to go to anyway, whether it's the clinic, whether it's us at Fleet and Family, you're just cruising by, drop in and just, you know, shoot an email, pick up the phone. You don't have to physically come in. See what there is for you, and ask the, in a sense, ask the dumb questions, because you're never going to get an answer. It's always going to be no if you don't ask the question. And so just that opportunity to do that for the service members and their dependents, for sure.
Excellent. Well, as always, Mr. Underwood, thanks for coming in, sharing your wisdom, your insight, and obviously all the resources that you have there at Fleet Family Support Center. Any final shout outs or words you want to give?
No, I mean, you're part of what we talked about. We've got a great team that's there at Fleet and Family, and one of those things is counseling, too. So knowing that a lot of the emotions we've talked about today of how tough it can be financially, that can bring in all kinds of different things, and just know that it's a broad spectrum of support. There's a lot of support that's there. And so just want to thank those guys. Thank everybody who's volunteering, like the ombudsman out there. But it's a team game, and we've talked about this before. You know, it's Fleet first, family always. And so we want to make sure it's all there.